Maybe. Really like a Azarge year?
Shaykh to have like a midterm, like just.
Pre-Bechina. Pre-Bechina.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
We'll see. Okay. Maybe we'll come with something. Okay.
We'll
plan it out. Okay. Okay. Chanukah. Okay. We'll see.
Something. I feel like he has a lot of.
Okay. Fair enough.
No. I mean, as long as the Olam wants it, I'm far on, right?
Okay.
Unless I'm the only one
that's not. I have dozens of possibilities. I don't think any of them are good for me.
Okay, we're about to begin the next sugya. So the next sugya really is very much coming off of the previous sugya. The last sugya we spoke about was Maliach Karoseach. And we spoke about the significance of when you salt foods together, even though there's no heat, and although the starting point of all of Bliyas and all of Tarovas is that there has to be some heat present, comes the Gemara and says, no, that doesn't necessarily have to be heat. You can have some other process that substitutes for heat, and that process is Maliach. And Maliach is Kiroseach. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about conceptually what Maliach Kiroseach is. We spent a lot of time talking about practically what has to happen for Maliach Kiroseach to kick in. Now the Gemara has the second half of the statement. Shmuel made two statements. So let's take a look at the first of the Marvin Kobos. In Chul, Daf Tzadi Zayin, Dema Shmuel. Maliach HaRaki Raseach, Kavush HaRaki Mavushal. That salted foods have the status of Raseach, and Kavush, soaked foods, have the status of Mavushal. Now once again, we're dealing with a lack of heat. Kavush just simply means things are soaked together. We're not yet going to define what does that mean. What kind of liquids are we talking about? How long is this act of soaking taking place? There are a lot of question marks in the sugya, which hopefully will probably be clarified in the next sugya. Not even in this sugya. This sugya, we're not even going to talk about the metzias of what has to happen in order for kavush to kick in. We're going to discuss the sugya first from the lomdish vantage point, namely, what exactly is happening in kavush kibavushal. We don't yet know what you have to do to create kavush kibavushal, but assuming that you created it, so what exactly took place? So the one thing that we know for sure is that Kavush is not like Maliach in the following sense. The Gemara already drew the distinction that whereas Maliach is only like Tzli, only like roasting, and therefore roasting doesn't penetrate entirely. How far penetrates, that was already a old story. Is it Kedei Klip or Kedei Netila? But completely it's not. In contrast to Maliach, which is only like Rosech Tzli, Kavush is kibavushal, namely it penetrates entirely. So there's no difference whether you took a piece of food and you literally cooked it in something treif, or you took a piece of food and you soaked it with something treif. It's kavush kibavushal. The penetration is entirely. The penetration is complete. There are no games. The klipas and the tira. It's what's called the bliya bakulo. So that we know because the Gemara really was bedayek that from Shmuel's contrast bliya kiroseach, but kavush is kibavushal. However, just as in the sugya of Maliach Roseach, we raised really a fundamental question, the real lomdish question in the entire sugya was, what does that phrase mean, A is like B? We've said this many, many times. Whenever Chazal gives us an equation, A is like B, you can understand that in one of two ways. Either A is completely like B, it is totally like B. Any and every characteristic of B carries over to A. Is that the pshat? A is literally like B? Or do I say no? A is like B just means that vis-a-vis the particular area of halacha that you're talking about right now, A has certain characteristics similar to B. Does it mean that A is identical to B? No. It's not an absolute equation. It has certain similarities. On the other hand, they may also have some significant differences. So we saw when the sugya of Maliach Kiroseach, it was a big machlekes, according to many Rishonim, Maliach is literally Kiroseach, just as Roseach is considered to be an act of roasting. So to salting is called an act of roasting. We even saw some Rishonim who claimed that you could actually be chayev on Shabbos for it. That was the Ran, the Ramban and the Ran from the last sugya. There were some who suggested maybe you could make an Erev Tavshilin with a Dover HaMaliach, that Maliach is literally like roasted. And we saw another Rishonim who say, absolutely not true. Maliach Kiroseach means characteristics, yes. Blias, yes. But identical, no. And therefore, you're not chayev, the Rabban said you're not chayev for roasting on Shabbos. If you merely do roast Maliach, the Magen Avraham said you can't make an Erev Tavshilin out of Maliach. So we already threw around that Shaila, just how similar are the two. And now the sugya of Kavush Kivushal begins in the same story. That Kavush Kivushal, what does that mean? Does that mean it's absolutely identical to one to another? And any and every time the halacha speaks about Bishul, you could just cross out Bishul and substitute Kavush. So whatever that means, again, we have no idea. So in what, how long, where, what, We don't know the details yet. That's hopefully in the next sugya. But do we have a right to say kovash is literally an equation to mevushal? Do I say no? Just as maliach wasn't necessarily quite like roseach, kovash may not be like mevushal also. It has characteristics of mevushal. It has blias like mevushal. It even has blias bekulo like mevushal. But is it mamash like mevushal? Would we say that you can cross out the word bishul and substitute the word kovash? Not necessarily. So let's see if we can bring a raya from the Gemara itself. There's not that much of the Gemara about kavush kibushol. There's approximately four words, the words that we just read, kavush arokim kibushol. But there is a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim that may shed some significant light on this. And this Gemara is going to become one of the most famous statements in Chazal in the entire sugyas of Bas Mechalim and Tarovus and Chulin. Hopefully we're going to keep on coming back to this Gemara time and time again because there's so much that depended on how to read this Gemara. So the Gemara begins in the second of the Maamar Kamos with the following discussion. What is the source for the principle called Tam Ki'ikar? Now, Tam Ki'ikar is a term we've been using. Here's a little chazar. We've been using this for the last 3 months. So Tam Ki'ikar, that means if I take a piece of tray for food and take a piece of chaz and throw it into a pot of soup, the potato soup, and I leave it there for a little bit, and then I pull it out. So there's no chaz there anymore. I know for a fact I took out, put the chaz in, took the chaz out. What's the problem? Not so simple. The Mishnah says, "Hareza benosin tam." The Mishnah says you can't go ahead and eat that soup yet. You have to first discern that there's no taste of chazer that penetrated into that soup. So hareza benosin tam. How are you going to do that? That's a whole other story that we spoke about. Also, a little chazar. See, we constantly do chazar. That we spoke about that in the past. That obviously the Jew's not going to taste it because if the Jew tastes it and he tastes it, that there is chaz there, they just violated the Dreyfus. So you have to bring in a goy to taste the few. Bring in a goy to taste it. How's the goy going to be nemo? And I'm going to trust the goy. So we had a whole sugi about this. Is he an expert? Is he not an expert? Masech Lefitumba, we just ask him for information. So again, a whole lot of this about how to get the facts in the ground. How are we going to discern whether there's no taste? If all else fails and we can't find the non-Jew to taste, so then the Gemara says, okay, we have a backup plan. The backup plan is called Bitul B'Shishim, that if and when you know you have 60, then you're pretty safe to assume that you don't have time. If in fact you thought you had no time, you thought you had 60, then it turns out you really did have time, then you have a problem. But the Mikra, then the Gemara says, either get a goy to taste it or shishim, and according to most of the Rishonim, either one of those two tests are going to do the trick. So everybody agrees there's a principle of nosin tam. That's a Mishnah. You can't argue with that. However, what's unclear is where did this din come from? Minani Mili, where did this halacha come from? That I'm looking at a pot of potato soup, and someone's telling me, oh, you can't eat it because there's a tav of chazer. So I'm looking at the potato, I don't see any chazer. The fear of Osei 9, there's no chazer here. The fact that there's a taste of chazer, is that my problem in HaTorah, or is that only a problem in the Rabbanans? That was a major, major, major machlokes, Tanoim and Amoraim and Rishonim and Shonim. This has been going on for thousands of years, this machlokes. So everyone agrees that it exists. We're not sure where the din comes from. If you want to tell me that the din is a din deraisa, then you better come up with a source for it. So we have to start searching around. It doesn't say it explicitly. If it said explicitly, it wouldn't be a machlekes. So it doesn't say it explicitly in the Chumash. V'da b'shem Moshe Leimar, be concerned about tam. We have to derive it from some other pre-existing halacha in the Torah. So what would be a possible source for this concept of tam kikar? So the Gemara in Pesachim Emdal picks up with the following. Rabbi Akiva, the Tana Rabbi Akiva, happens to hold that maybe the source of Tam Kikar is as follows. Tam Kikar Minalei, Yolef Bibos Becholav. The reason why the Gemara is picking Dafka and Rabbi Akiva is part of a whole three-blot sugi in Pesachim, where Rabbi Akiva is the one who's next in line to figure out what the source is, but again, it's not relevant for us right now. But Rabbi Akiva, and potentially others may also agree, that the source for Tam Kikar is Bos Becholav. Where is Bos Becholav? Who Bos Becholav? Says the Gemara, Laf Taim Be'amu V'Osur, Hachanami Loshna. So, if you think about it long enough, Bosa B'Cholav is really an issue of Tam. The reason why when we see this Gemara, we get startled because we think, what does Bosa B'Cholav have to do with Tam? I walk into McDonald's, I have a slice of meat and a slice of cheese. That's not Tam Kikar, that's Bosa B'Cholav Mamish. So the answer is, believe it or not, that may not even be Bosa B'Cholav. Because that's not Bosa B'Cholav, that's not milk, that's a solid milk in the form of cheese. According to many, many Rishonim, that's not even Bosa B'Cholav D'Oraisa. Bosa B'Cholav D'Oraisa means Bosar, the cholav, cholav means pour a container of milk. That's what cholav means. So what bos b'cholav deraisa means is, I take a pot, I fill it up with milk, and then I take a piece of steak, and I put the steak inside the milk, I cook it up. So now, I take that piece of meat out of the pot, I look at it, I see, I don't see any milk here. So why can't I eat it? The fira osay naim, I don't see any milk. What's the answer? Because it has time of milk, obviously. Oh, it has time of milk, really? You see that the Torah must be taken into consideration, time, that we're not ignoring time. Even though I don't see any milk here. Well, let's say I cook up my bas mechov and I want to have a cup of the milk to drink. I don't see any meat inside the milk. It would be also the rice and either to eat that meat or to drink that milk. Why? There's no be'en, there's no mamoshes there. Oh, it must be that the Torah takes into consideration the mere time of something. So comes Rabbi Akiva and says, if the Torah takes into consideration the time of something, so then huwa dinami, the Torah takes into consideration the time of chazir. And what's the difference between cooking meat and milk together where at the end of the day when the food's on your plate, you don't see the other food, you're just merely tasting it, and that's a problem in a Torah. So too, if you have a piece of chazir that fell into potato soup and you got rid of the chazir, you can't eat that potato soup because it now tastes like chazir. What's the difference between the two?
When Torah says, lo sabashet deep halei mimo, I don't hear from those words that there has to be both meat and milk present. What I hear is that there is an isur to cook meat within milk. Now, once it's done, let's even say there's no time. But you did that already. Now you're stuck because there are two more lo sabashels, one for anoa, one for achila. And where am I going
to
go?
Okay, so you're going to have to hang on to that question. It's a bomb kasha. It's the Gemara's kasha in Chul Daf Kuf Ches. I would say you have to wait till we get Daf Kuf Ches. Because even in fact, we're on Sadi Zayin, and we started in Sadi Vav, and we're halfway through December. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet on that happening this year. But we will address that kasha in different sugyas as we continue throughout. It's a bomb kasha. The answer to that question is opens up worlds for us. I'm afraid if I start that, we'll never get anywhere near the second of the Maamar Kama. So we're going to have to hold on to him. It's a very, very powerful question. But comes to Gemara, at least at face value, and says, Bas Mechov is not a beit suas for Tam Gikar. So the Gemara says that if it's such a great suas, how come nobody else held that way? How come the Rabbanon don't accept that all the other Chacham didn't derive it from Bas Mechov? If the Rabbanon ultimately held from Tam Kikar being derais is questionable, but if they did, it's not from Bas Mechov. It's from other psukim, from Kashmir and Kalim, from Nazir, from half a dozen other psukim. But Bas Mechov is just not the model. Why not? What is wrong with the model of Bas Mechov? So Gemara says, here's the problem for Rabbanon. Bas Mechov lo gamrinon, you cannot derive anything from Bas Mechov. Bas Mechov cannot serve as a source for Tam Kikar. Why? The Chiddushu. Because Bas Mechov is such a Chiddush. Bas Mechov is something that I never, ever would have set on my own. It breaks all the rules of Hilchos Kashrus. Hilchos Kashrus themselves, I never would have set on my own. But even Hilchos Kashrus fit into a pattern, fit into a package. There are concepts of Hilchos Kashrus that are understandable, that are comprehensible in the world of Kashrus. Bas Mechov is legamre yotze min haklal. It's a chutz l'machaneh. It doesn't make any sense, the fi Bas Adam. There are rules that apply to Bas Mechov that we would never apply to anything else. That's what's called an halacha chiddush. Once something is identified as being in its own world of a chiddush, then we have a rule called mechiddush lo yafinan. You can't derive regular rules from something that's a chiddush. The starting point of all of halacha is that all of Torah is one unit. Because Baruch Hu gave us all the dinya Torah, we can compare one to another, we can extrapolate one area of halacha to another, we could theoretically extrapolate from Hilchos Nevela to Hilchos Trefa to Hilchos Trefa to Hilchos Chazir, we can jump around, but once something is identified as being a chiddush, then all bets are off. So comes the Gemara and says, Bas Mechov is such a chiddush, and therefore it's true that the Torah prohibits Tam Kikar by Bas Mechov. But that's it. Ad kan v'lo yoser, because Bas Mechov is a chiddush. So the Gemara wants to identify, and what's the grandiose chiddush about Bas Mechov? Umay chiddush. Ilayim, if you're going to tell me the chiddush is the hay l'chudei v'hay l'chudei shari, v'hadi hadati aser. Bas Mechov is so bizarre, so strange, because there's nothing wrong with eating a piece of meat. And similarly, there's nothing wrong with drinking a cup of milk. Each one is the davar mutar. Hocus pocus, mixed together, and now you have this in their eyes. Yeah, Bas Mechov. It's crazy, it doesn't make any sense. He says, I understand the Torah says don't eat chaz, don't nevedas, don't eat, I got all that. But to tell me that you can't eat two things that independently are mutter, there's a general rule, mech, well, 0 + 0 = 0. So if meat is 0 usr, and milk is 0 usr, how in the world can the combination create a disser? The answer is, we're mevatel datena to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's what's called the chiddush. It's such a chiddush, it breaks all the rules of logic. Mechiddush lo yafidin. You can no longer derive any halachas from Bas Mechov. So comes the Gemara and says, really? That's such a chiddush? That's not such a chiddush. Kilayim nami, hay l'chudei v'hay l'chudei shayv adadi asar. The Gemara says, you take some wheat, you're allowed to eat wheat. You take some grapes, you're allowed to eat grapes. You mix them together, hocus pocus, you have kilei kerem, and it's also be'achil, also be'ano. So that model in halach of taking two dvarim mutarim and mixing them together and creating an iser is not so foreign to us, is not so bizarre to us. Once we've shown that it already exists in other, we already have a precedent for that concept, then it's ois chiddush, it's not a chiddush anymore. Once it's not a chiddush, then we are free to derive all the details, such as tam ki'ikar. So Gemara says, no. You had the wrong chiddush. Let me tell you what the real chiddush is. He has the chiddush in Basa B'chalav that defies all logic. He has the real chiddush. Ella, the Gemara says in the last line, Ella, the itar le kuliyom b'chal b'shari, b'shar le b'shulei osur. You take a piece of meat, and you take a pot of milk, and soak one in the other for the entire day. You could soak it for 6 months, you could soak it for 10 years, and guess what? Minat Torah, it's het de gomer. You could take the piece of meat out, you could actually take it with the milk on it, and eat it, drink het de gomer. Why? It's het de gomer. That's not bas b'chol, b'chol b'torah. You turn on the gas for 5 minutes, and you cook it up for a couple of minutes, and guess what? Hocus pocus, you just created nisa deraisa called bas b'chol. And now it's also minat Torah to be uncle, to be nehenah. That's a wild chiddush. Such an unbelievable chiddush. He said, you soaked it, and everything's fine. You turn the fire for a minute, all of a sudden everything becomes also deraisa. How do you explain that conceptually? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, what do you see from here? You're talking right. It doesn't make any sense. Bas b'chol taka doesn't make any sense. It's in the category, the box called the chiddush b'fnei atzmo. Once it's a chiddush, b'chiddush lo yafinon, you can't derive anything, and therefore bas b'chol cannot serve as a valid source for tam kikar. So I can't give you a Gemara. So the goal of this Gemara, these four lines of the Gemara, was to explain to us why Rabbi Akiva may have potentially derived kola terakula tam kikar from bas b'cholov, and why nobody else agreed to him. And the reason why nobody else agreed is b'chiddush lo yafinon. And the characteristic of chiddush that the Gemara finally concluded, the Gemara tempted one and had to abort it. And finally, the Gemara's conclusion, what makes bas b'cholov so mechudosh, is the idea that soaking it is okay, and cooking it becomes a problem. What do we make of this line in the Gemara? The Gemara views this as soaking mutter, cooking osur, that's a chiddush. That strikes us as being a chiddush. There is no question that the Gemara here is talking about standards of deraisa. We have to identify, we have to categorize bas b'cholov as being a chiddush on a Torah level. Everything that's being discussed in these four lines has to be deraisatic concepts, because we're trying to figure out dirim deraisa. When you're deriving dirim deraisa one from another, and you're discussing, is bas b'chol a good source? Is bas b'chol not a good source? That's a deraisatic question. We're trying to figure out, Tomke, we're going to give a guy malchus, we're going to create a sum deraisa. So anything and everything has to hold water mid deraisa. Means every svara that we're saying, every refutation of a svara, every kasha, every pircha, every rai, every mimetzinu, everything has to be something that Moshe Rabbeinu would be comfortable pippling with. If you're creating dirim deraisa, then you have to use svaras that are deraisa. Therefore, it is clear that the Gemara viewed this on a level of deraisa as being startling. Means min haTorah, what should have happened is that you should have taken meat and milk, soaked together, it should have been asur. That's what we would have expected the Torah to say. And the Torah didn't say that. But rather, the Torah said, it's okay, but you turn on the fire, it becomes asur. That means, on a Torah level, in the world of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you go back to the Midbar, Moshe Rabbeinu would have no problems reading this Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu would say, yeah, it's tacha right, tacha pelet, tacha chiddush. Gee, you can't derive anything from it. It doesn't really make any sense, the fi ra'oseh neinu. You see clear from this line of the Gemara that soaking meat and milk should have created an iser d'oraisa based on all logic. Why? Based on what principle in the Torah should cooking meat and milk, I'm sorry, should soaking meat and milk have created an iser? The answer is, well, it must be, there are only two words. The two words are kavush, kimavushal. It must be that this idea that Tom spreads is a Torah dikka concept. It's not something the Rabbanim 1,000 years made up later. No, it's not something the Mishnayis made up, the Tanai made up. It must be this is as old as the hills. This goes back to the Torah itself. It must be that the Rabban Shalom himself accepted this concept of Kavish Kimavush as being a factor in Uchus Kashrus that, according to all rules of logic, should have created a problem in Bas B'cholov, and yet didn't. Ah, you see from here, Bas B'cholov is unique. Bas B'cholov is a chiddush, and therefore, b'chiddush le'yafinan. So even though the Gemara never ever says that Amar Rava Kavish Kivushal deraisa, there's no Gemara that says that, but all the Rishonim are medayik from this line of the Gemara, from this pilpul in the Gemara, from the fact that the Gemara is viewing Kavish, is viewing Bas B'cholov as a chiddush through the eyes of that principle of Kavish Kivushal, that for some strange reason don't apply to Bas Mechalav, that gufa indicates to us that that principle, Kovash Kavushal, is a deraisa principle. It's a very roundabout kind of a raya, but it's pretty clear. It's pretty, if you just read the Gemara long enough, then you come to that realization.
By the Torah saying,
wouldn't that take away? So that's going to set the stage for, wait a second, if you're so convinced that Kovash is Kavushal with deraisa, so Taka, why doesn't it work for Bas Mechalav? That's gonna put us over the edge, that question, right? That's the next 15 Maamar Kovah to answer that question. Okay? So yeah, we just have to make sure we understand the premise of the question. The premise of the question is because we're pilpling on a love of deraisa, we're trying to derive dinim deraisa, we're trying to refute dinim deraisa, and the Gemara is throwing into this discussion the idea of Kovash Kavushal. You see, Claude, the Kovash Kavushal is beikaron, the principle deraisa. Yeah, well, it must be transferring because of kavush, right? Even though normally tzonin b'tzonin b'hadacha, no, but these are the two exceptions. That's exactly how Shmuel started the sugya. And even though we all know you're right, the mishnah is tzonin b'tzonin b'hadacha, but sometimes not. And here are the two sometimes not. Either it's maliach or it's kavush. You're right. These are the exceptions to the rule. Enochinami. So, as many have kibbutz ladinim, it's very nice. Okay, so we just proved roundabout from Hoshtikul Torah in the Gemara that kavush kibbushal is a deraistika principle. Who cares? It exists anyway, the Raisa, the Rabbanan. All of a sudden we care what's the Raisa, the Rabbanan. In the end of the day, everything's if it's also, it's also. So comes the Ramah in the beginning of Simon Kuf Hei, in the beginning of Vichas Taroves, not the beginning of Vichas Taroves, the beginning of the Simon of Kuf Hei in Taroves, where the Ramah has the following. The Ramah writes that it's the second line of the third Imam Kuf, Simon Kuf Hei. The Sofei Kovush Osir. What would the din be if I have food that was soaking together, and I don't know whether kavush was accomplished? Why don't I know? Okay, we have no idea how long it takes for kavush to happen. I'll tell you a secret. According to most of Shom, is 24 hours. So let's say I had something soaking, some kosher food and trade food were soaking together, and I wasn't looking at the clock, and now it's in there. I have no idea. Was it 24 hours? Was it 22 hours? Was it 20 hours? 28? I'm not sure. What do you do? So comes the Ramon and says, let me tell you what you do. Suffolk kavush is also, he quotes this from a Sefer Issa V'Heter, that they're ready from the earlier poskim, that Issa V'Heter said, if you have a Suffolk kavush, it's also. Why is that? Very simple. A diuk right at Agamar, says the Issa V'Heter, you see from Agamar, we just learned in Pesachim Imdalet, that kavush is a deraisa. If it's a problem a deraisa, it's a nice intab a deraisa, then we have to treat it with all the chumras of deraisa. And with deraisa, we say suffik deraisa l'chumra. So if you have a suffik kovush, you have a suffik piece of chaz, let's say, was sitting and soaking in a cold pot of potato soup for maybe 24 hours, with deraisa, you can't eat the potato soup anymore, unless the guy tells you that there's no time at all. With deraisa, you have a potential problem of lias, because suffik kovush is a suffik deraisa l'chumra. However, the Ramah continues. However, what if you have a suffik kavush by basa mecholav? What if you have a cold piece of meat that was soaking in a pot of milk? No one turned on the fire, so you may or may not have had kavush kimavushol. You're not sure. Suffik is the kula. Why? The minat Torah eino asura rak b'bishol mamish. Because kavush kimavushol, as great as it is minat Torah, as effective as it is minat Torah to spread tam, the buck stops here, as I already said, by Bas Mechalav. Bas Mechalav Ataka doesn't work. That's exactly what the Gemara said. So the Gemara told us back in the second of Maamar Kovah, Simsachim Amdala, two tremendous Chiddusha min HaTorah. Chiddush number one is, yes, Kavush Kavushal is an issue min HaTorah. It spreads Tam min HaTorah, no question about it, because it was only a Chumad Rabban that it didn't belong in the Sugyas of their Isis. So principle number one is, Kavush Kavushal is a real bona fide nation Tam min HaTorah. Principle number two is, it doesn't impact Bas Mechalav Min HaTorah. Min HaTorah, Bas Mechalav requires the real McCoy. It requires to turn on the fire. It requires a real cooking, not this hocus pocus halachic cooking called Kavush Kibbushal. Those are the two dinim that emanate from Sachem Daf Mem Dalad. That's exactly why the Ramah quotes this Vehetta that says, therefore, la halacha, Safek Kavush Bashari Surbis Deraisa. Safik kavush by Bas Mechalav is only midirabanan, and that impacts lemaisa on case of safik kavush. The question that we have to ask ourselves is: now that we read the Gemara in Pesachim, and now that we realize this v'hetter and the Rambam's conclusion with the Gemara, we have to ask ourselves: why are these two halachas true? What is the lumdus? Why are these two phenomena correct? Why is it that safik kavush by shari surim is l'chumra because kavush is deraisa? why is it that Safek Kavosh Rebos Becholov is Lekula, because Kavosh Rebos Becholov is Derabanan? Why should that be so? What's the difference? Why some areas of Kashrus yes, some areas of Kashrus no? So Lechara, we could use our first Chakira to come answer this question. What does Kavosh Kimavushal mean? So we thought that Kavosh Kimavushal may very well mean as follows. That Kavosh Kimavushal doesn't really mean it. It's not an equation. Kavosh is not literally Kimavushal. What Kavosh is, Kavosh gives off certain properties of Mavushal. It has certain characteristics of Mavushal. What characteristic? Just as Bishal, just as heat, is usually associated with Blias, the characteristic of heat gives off Blias, so too Kavosh Kimavushal has those qualities, those characteristics of Mavushal, in that it can also transfer Tam, albeit in the absence of heat. That's all Kavosh Kimavushal meant. It never ever meant an absolute ironclad equation. It meant viz a vi, hilchas blias, kavosh is kimavushal, which was Shmuel's original context. Does it mean that it's a maisa bishul in halacha? Absolutely not. When the halacha requires a maisa bishul, a halachic bishul, kavosh falls short. You know what bishul means? Bishul means turning on the fire. That's bishul. You want to tell me that soaking food for 24 hours gives oblias minatara, that'll be makabel. You want to tell me that? It's halachically called the Maisa Bishul? Forget it. And that's exactly where Bas Becholov parts ways with Shari Surim. Shari Surim, there's no halacha that you have to cook the chazer with potato soup to give off a problem. What creates the problem in chazer being cooked in potato soup is that there's a tam of chazer that's exiting the chazer, entering to the potato soup. Tam's yikar again may very well be deraisa. So any and every process that can give off tam can now pose a challenge minatara. Kavosh Kimavushal is such a process, because Kavosh is Kimavushal, and it's a deraisa dika principle. Therefore, just as Bishul gives off Tam, so too Kavosh gives off Tam. Does that mean that Kavosh is a Maisa Bishul? No. So by Chazir, we don't need a Maisa Bishul. But by Bas Bechov, you do. Why do you need a by Bas Bechov a Maisa Bishul? Because the Torah says so. Lo Savasho Gediba Chalavimo. It doesn't say Lo Titom Bas Bechov. It says Lo Savasho Gediba Chalavimo. Minator. With the Rabban, you could have a cold salami sandwich is also a problem. But midaraisa, to be real, the real Makoy Bas Bechalov, Derech Bishul Asr Torah. It has to have the magic word Bishul in the equation. Kavosh, guess what? It's not a Maisa Bishul. It's a Maisa Blias, but it's not a Maisa Bishul. So if we're willing to accept that side of the Chakira, then the Gemara Mitzachim reads like a charm. If we don't want to accept that, if we really want to believe that Kavosh is Kimavushal Mamish, then we have a lot of explaining to do in the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. How would we know whether we're going down the right path or not? So probably the way to do this is to open up our eyes to other areas of Halacha and see, well, where else does Bishul appear in Halacha? Does Kavosh apply there? We can put up a little test. We can test in the lab. Let's try to see, does Kavosh apply in other Ilchus Bishul areas? And that may impact the Nachakir. That may explain to us whether we're going down the right path. What other areas of Bishul do we know of? Well, we know there's Bishul B'Shabbos. That would be a good test case. There's Bishul Korban Pesach. Vosha Vosha, you're not allowed to cook a Korban Pesach. So would Kavosh Korban Pesach be a problem? Would Kavosh and Shabbos be a problem in the Torah? So we have a lot of work to do to search in other areas of Halacha before we get back to our story. So our basic Akira still stands. We're still not quite sure what Kavosh Kavoshal is or is not. We tend to believe at this point that we think we discovered the answer based on the Gemara Pesachim, but we may not be correct in that assessment. According to many, we are correct. According to some, we may not necessarily be correct. So hopefully we have a lot of things to continue to talk about, but at least we got the bare minimum started into the Sugya of Kavosh Kimavushal.
Is it just because soaking has water and cooking has water?